right. Hello, everybody. We're right on time. I see we've got a few folks on the line so far. So I think while we're waiting for everybody to plug in, I've got a couple of logistical housekeeping items to cover, and then we've got some interesting things to talk about today. Without spoiling that, let me start with what's happening quickly here that everybody should be aware of. Number one, obviously, is we have the 2010 NAPMA Quantum Leap Marketing Bootcamp coming up in May, 7th through 9th. And if you haven't heard anything about that yet, you certainly sure will be. Most of you probably have already heard about it and have already registered. So that's useful. If you haven't registered yet, you definitely want to do that. Go to natmaquantumleap.com. Here's the 5-second explanation of the event and what it's all about. This is, you know, kind of the emergence of the, you know, Ultimate Martial Arts Marketing Bootcamp and the previous NAPMA type events. And this is really a workshop experience. So we're going to have, we know right now that we have two major challenges in the niche, right? We have two major challenges in our martial arts schools. Number one is attracting enough new students. Obviously, the huge majority of the schools in the industry right now are really struggling with their marketing activities. Lots and lots and lots of things that used to work 2 years ago aren't working today, or at least aren't working as well. And we have, you know, only two or three options. You know, we can either do more stuff, we can do the stuff we're doing better, or we can find, you know, new things that are working in some markets and then try to scale that through other markets. So certainly we're going to be spending a lot of time working on at the Quantum Leap in Orlando, working on making your marketing better and giving you lots and lots of new ideas that are working in locations all over the, you know, country and, in fact, all across the world. And again, it really is a workshop experience. So what you're going to want to do is bring samples of your current marketing and look through them, work through them as we work through some of the processes. We're going to be talking a little bit about copywriting, a little bit about offers, a little bit about headlines, you know, some of the mechanics that you're going to want to be really good at in your marketing. And then we're also going to talk a lot about the process, you know, the theory and why things sometimes work and don't, and, you know, those types of things. And then share lots and lots of examples of what is working. I've got several of our high-level Inner Circle members and also a couple of our very successful franchisees as well who are going to be sharing examples of marketing pieces that have been a big hit for them over the last, you know, let's say six to ten months in this specific type of a wacky economy, not stuff that used to work, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. So that's going to be useful. The second thing that we're trying to accomplish at the boot camp in May is I've done a good amount of work in pulling together three additional resources that have alternate profit center opportunities for you. And these alternate profit centers are things that, you know, don't take a lot of time and manual labor and effort, but help you leverage the relationship you already have with the student base. Meaning, there are things that your students are out in the marketplace buying, right? There are things that they're doing that you could be able to provide services, you know, similar services, and have a commission or have an override or have an affiliate split or something like that of those purchases. So there are three really unique additional profit centers that we're going to be talking about at the event, and it really, the concept was, certainly we all need to be focusing on our businesses, and we don't need to have ancillary distractions running around and you know, flit off in 100 different directions because nothing ever gets done that, right? You know, none of the 100 things get done well. So instead, what these are is how to take what you're already doing. You've already got relationships with parents, with families, with kids, with adults, and leverage that relationship to the next level in a very productive, positive, mutually serving way so that it's not incongruent with your culture, right? It's very important. And these are some of the things that we've been doing for a couple of years that have been working really well. So that'll be interesting enough. Then finally, we also have, you know, some really in-depth, in-detail, plain English examples, samples for you to take with you, those types of things, of currently successful marketing pieces themselves. So not just how to do it for yourself, or you know, the example of what someone else did, but examples that you can actually go in and edit and you know make these things work. The thing that we found that we really want to try to solve at this event for the attendees is, you know, in many cases, someone might receive a flyer in an Atla box that they want to use, right? And they'll go in and edit the flyer and change some things around and stuff like that. And in a lot of cases, they'll change the things, the mechanisms that make the thing work, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about that today as well. And you really have to study this stuff. You really have to know, you know, the psychology of how somebody consumes printed material, how somebody consumes audio material, how somebody consumes, you know, television media, whatever media you're going to be advertising in, and understand how their eye is going to follow the sales message, and you know, all of these pieces, and we're going to be spending a lot of time on that. So I'm really excited about that. This is my type of thing because I really like to, I'm very analytical. I really like to analyze exactly, you know, what things are working and why, and those types of things. So that'll be fun for me anyway. And hopefully very, very, very valuable for everyone who attends. So that's important. Make sure you go to natmaquantumleap.com right away and register. Again, if you're a peak performer inner circle, the tuition is zero. So you certainly want to make sure that you get your seat reservation. I think we have we're over half sold out. So we have to make sure that you get your reservation in there. And it will be in Orlando, Florida. It's in a great location. You don't even need a rental car. It's perfect. It'll be great. So anyway, that's that. So the transition then becomes, here's what we're talking about today. Since it's the end of the first quarter, and, you know, the first quarter typically we focus mostly on enrollments. There are a couple of new things that we've been doing in the Mile High Karate system now for a couple of months that are working really well and that are producing some really good results. And let me give you the 40,000 foot in the air, and then we're going to have, we're lucky enough to have Master Oliver join us for a little while today, and we'll do some Q&A with him on this specific strategy. But here's what's working really well for us right now, right? And obviously you know enough about me and how we do things by now that community involvement has always been our number one marketing activity, right? Getting out in front of the schools and, you know, those types of things. That's the, you know, the most, like, productive thing that we're doing. This strategy that we're going to talk about right now, in fact, is kind of how we go, is what we're using right now to build some of those relationships and to really get a lot of traction. So, Master Oliver, thanks for tuning in with us today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Hopefully I don't have too much background noise for a change.
Yeah, it's okay right now. So anyway, we were just getting ready to transition into this sort of into this fundraiser strategy, and I guess maybe you might want to just take us from the top down, from 40,000 feet in the air, and then zoom in on why this thing works, how it works, and how it helps us build these kind of relationships in the community.
Well, you bet, and you know, as a little bit of history on it, first I guess is one of the things that we started doing in Denver. And I've got to guess it's 20 years ago now. I don't remember how long, but of course we've done lots of different charitable activity. But one of the things that I had done is printed at the time is actually a 16-page newspaper format, you know, 8.5 by 11 deal. And we were at the time doing a walk-a-thon for an organization that my mother was part of called Project Concert International, and. For a few years, we did it for Chuck Norris's Kick Drugs, or now Kickstart, as well. But what we were able to do is we were able to get those packets of information about the nonprofit walk-a-thon into every elementary school in the city, and you know, as well as through churches and scout troops, and et cetera. We'll go more through that, and. And so over the years, we've done a lot of different iterations of it, and the 16-pager at the time was, you know, really was about half about the walk, and it was about half about, you know, the martial arts program and offers for the martial arts program and so forth. And then I had dropped it for a couple of years, kind of forgotten about it, and then Tim Kovar had been trying to do a few of the things that we were doing and hadn't had much success. But then there was a local teen center in Sacramento that was very well regarded. So he put together a little flyer that was a $49 5-week in a uniform offer for the fundraiser for the teen center. And again, ended up with being able to go to the different school districts in California, and there in Sacramento, he had never been able to get anything going with the elementary schools or middle schools, but he managed to get them to actually in the school mail distribute these. So what would happen is, same thing we had been doing before with the flyers for a walk or Kickstart. And so what happened now is both in Denver and in Sacramento, every time we do it, we could get 150,000 flyers distributed for free. We would pay for the printing, but it would go out 100% for free. And I don't remember if it was Tim's iteration of this or mine, but one of the things that we started doing with it, which I think is making it where, like some of the iterations that I've seen different people do with fundraising type of stuff, is let's say that it's a $49 week program, and so what you're going to say is, well, the uniform costs $20, so that means there's $39 left, and we're going to keep $20 for teaching the classes. We'll give the charity $20. And those numbers didn't give the idea. But what we started doing with it when we flipped it to this concept is they come into the school. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. They come into the school, and they write the check directly to the charity. So if it's, in this case, if the offer's 5 weeks for $49, and I don't think there's any magic in that. Having experimented back and forth, I think what Tim had found is, making the offer $29, he got even more response. We've kept it at $49 because I kind of like to actually raise some money for a decent amount of money for the charity, obviously, on the deal as well. But what happens is they write the check directly to the charity. So whether it was in his case Teen Center, in our case Children's Hospital, or Kick Drugs, or whatnot, if the student walks in, they come in for the first intro with a flyer in hand, and they've called ahead of time, and they make the check payable. Or in this case, what's the Haiti charity we're working with right now, Toby? It's
World Vision International.
There you go, World Vision. So in this case, they walk into the school, make a check directly payable to World Vision that we then put in an envelope, and we get 50 of them or so. We put the envelope in the mail directly to World Vision, and now they've got a nice donation courtesy of our efforts. We pay for the uniform. We provide the lessons. We don't take any money out of the deal. And the important component of that is it eliminates any question mark in anybody's mind about whether the money is truly getting to the charity or not, which, one, improves your ability to get, facilitate with the elementary school or with Pizza Hut or with the grocery store chain. Two is it eliminates any question mark when the prospective student comes in, so you don't have that, well, are these guys really giving the money to the charity thing? It would be one more point of lack of trust as they're coming through the introductory process. So what we're doing right now is, literally printing hundreds of thousands of just 8.5 by 11 flyers two-sided, and having each location hopefully get 30,000 to 50,000 of them distributed, and we'll give everybody the basic artwork. You'll have to fill in some of the blanks for your own school and so forth, but the basic concept of it is, if you're paying 2 cents a piece for printing or something like that, it sure beats paying 40 cents to print and mail something, and you can get organizations to get them directly to good prospective customers. And over the years, and including right now, we have these going out in, you know, McDonald's drive-through into the bags. We've got on tray liners at fast food restaurants. We've got them on the top of pizza boxes going out of Domino's, Pizza Hut, Black Jack Pizza. We've got them going directly to youth groups and churches. We've got them going directly to patrons and movie theaters. We've got them going directly to, I think I said elementary schools, public and private elementary schools. The one thing I would add to that, in many cases, it helps get them distributed, and it certainly is no skin off your nose if you take the flyer and put the organization that's facilitating it logo on as well. So a lot of the ones that we have, for instance, Mile High Karate logo, Black Jack Pizza logo, and World Vision logo. So it becomes that Black Jack Pizza is sponsoring a charitable fundraiser where you can buy 5 weeks for $49 for Mile High Karate. 100% of the money goes to World Vision, and Black Jack Pizza is sponsoring it.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to reiterate a few pieces of magic here, right? So there is magic in this. I mean, there's very little magic in some marketing, but there is magic in this because it helps swing doors open for you. And so the magic in the concept is, number one, I'm sure all of us, everybody on the call, has elementary schools that you have a difficult time penetrating, or daycares that you have a difficult time penetrating, or local businesses that you have a difficult time sort of getting in front of. And for whatever reason that is, in some cases this helps alleviate that problem, because now you're kind of going into it with not what's in it for you, but what's in it for not just the charity, but for the business, right? So there's a lot of magic in that piece of it. So if you're having difficulty getting into an elementary school, this has been the golden key that's unlocked the door in many cases. Again, I think many of us would admit that we in some cases have challenges getting into some of the major national franchise businesses like McDonald's, Burger King, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. However, this thing has helped us. In fact, I just talked to Frank Brown yesterday. He has, I think, four or five Burger Kings all putting this in the in the drive-thru. So everybody who goes through the drive-thru, they stick this flyer in the bag, right? Now, you know, his big lament is that now he's got to run to Kinko's every day and print, an extra 50,000 flyers or, 8,000 flyers or whatever it is. So, I mean, God willed us that we all had that same problem, right? So this can be a key a golden key that can open the door in many cases.
Anchor back to why that is, though, for a second, Toby, because it's important so that you know how to properly approach everybody as well. Is this is now you're providing a way for their organization to do a significant fundraiser for something that's very visible in people's minds right now, i.e. Haiti, that's tied to another organization that's a nonprofit that's already there in place doing stuff and already was prior to the earthquake, in this case World Vision. And it doesn't have anything to do with the karate school, right? And so, like one of the things you mentioned, Frank, one of the things that Frank had found, and it was, again, one of those relearning the same lessons 5 and 7 and 8 years later, is he did some of these, and he had, one of our Mile High Karate dress shirts with a logo on, had much less success than when he went just dressed in, business casual. When we had first kicked off the Children's Hospital thing years ago, is we had very nice polos embroidered with, on the left chest, the Children's Hospital logo, and on the right chest, a Mile High Karate logo. And if I was going to do it over again, I would have had real nice polo shirts with Children's Hospital logo and no mention of Mile High Karate. And so, when we talk to the elementary schools about this, hi, we're working with World Vision to do a very focused fundraiser for Haiti relief. And if you don't know, they were already there before the earthquake, and they were one of the first organizations to be there and in place when this disaster hit. And We've nicely lined up Mile High Karate. We've nicely lined up your school name to to contribute a lesson package for this, and 100% of the $49 goes directly to Haiti Relief. So it's not just a donation that people are making; they're also getting something that's really worth $250 in addition to it.
Yeah, and you know. Again, to go back to the 40,000 foot in the air, because I really think it is important to, you know, tie all these things back into what the big marketing principles here are too. One of the big marketing principles that you're doing here, which is what, you know, is really, really useful, is you're entering the conversation that's already in their mind. You're tying into something that's already relevant in the media, right? Now, we might be a week, you know, we would be better off to be 2 weeks ago than this week, but still, we're still fine, right? This is still something that's very prevalent in everyone's mind, but this is entering the conversation in their mind. The second opportunity, or the second, you know, marketing tie-in here is that it's a totally non-sales-looking sales approach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, here, buy my stuff. This is, look, I know that you're already thinking about doing something for Haiti, and if you were given the right opportunity, and I know you don't want to call the number on the television because you're not sure if you can trust them, and you're not sure exactly if your check's going to go to the right place or whatever, but here's a safe alternative for you. And by the way, you get something out of it too. It's a great story to tell. The third concept that we're tying all together here with this plan is that you're finding the herd, you're finding the traffic, right? And you're getting in front of that. You're getting in front of a big group of people who maybe you couldn't get in front of all at once before. And another example of another, I guess, piece of traffic, you know, fenced-in herd of folks that we're having some success with on this is, you know, right now is tax season, right? So every one of you guys have 5, 10, 15 H&R Blocks or likewise, you know, like tax preparers in your area. And they're going to see just about every person that lives in your town, right? I mean, they're going to see at least, you know, 60 or 70% of the people who come there. And this is another opportunity, that's another outlet for these types of things. Obviously, what we're trying to do is to blanket every business we can find, right? But that's an example of, and like you said, pizza box tops and, you know, those types of things where families, you know, very often hang out and, you know, kids are and things like that. But, you know, keep in mind, this is just like Valentine's Day. You know, we all knew back in January that and in fact, you all should sit in judgment of yourself on this. If you weren't in every flower shop, you know, with your message, and every candy shop, and all that stuff for Valentine's Day, then you need to go into the back room and kick yourself in the rear end because, you know, virtually every one member of every family in the community went to the flower shop and bought flowers, right? Or to the candy shop and bought candy for Valentine's Day. So, I mean, we knew where the traffic was. We just had to go get in front of it in some manner. And this is a great opportunity to do that in some of these, you know, major credit clients, you know, national credit clients and things like that, you know, things like, you know, Burger King, whatever. But certainly things like, you know, H&R Block is going to have a huge influx of traffic for tax season. Mother's Day is coming up in a couple of months. You know, we definitely want to be back in the same places we were for Valentine's Day and, you know, that sort of stuff. So this ties three big, you know, marketing principles all together and puts a big charity bow around it, which is really useful.
Yeah, absolutely. So it pulls it all together, makes it work. And again, if you look at what the opportunity is, you know, in a fairly reasonable radius of most individual schools, I think it's you can get 30,000 to 50,000 of these out pretty quickly and easily. And you know, it probably costs, a couple cents a piece to print them. So if you run the numbers, it's a very inexpensive way to get lots and lots and lots of exposure. So, I've seen a few people take the idea and expand it into, like, black and white advertising, newspaper inserts, stuff like that. But I think it misses the point of what's useful about the specific idea, especially the tie to the fundraiser, is what's useful about it is the free distribution. So what's useful about it is the King Supers and the Safeway and the different grocery store chains around the country, the fast food places, the all of that, plus you know every elementary school, middle school in your area distribute them. That's really what the usefulness is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this really is, you know, it's unfortunate, but an awful lot of folks in the martial arts industry, you know, they really, really, really resist doing things that cost any money, even though they could, in many cases, be pretty good response drivers. But this facilitates all that. This is just the price of printing, you know. You know, you can print these things in black and white, like you said, for a couple hundred bucks and get 5,000 copies and, you know, go to town. The other, which, by the way, we're doing kind of a quasi-grand opening, and this is one of our mechanisms that the new owner is using to create business-to-business relationships with all the local merchants. So, you know, there's probably 5 shopping centers in the area that we're doing this, you know, this new owner. And his mission over the next 72 hours is to build a database of every business in all those centers, meet every manager, meet every owner, whoever the decision maker is there, talk to them about this deal, leave the flyers there, you know, do whatever they can do. And that's going to pay dividends, you know, for years and years and years in the future on all sorts of joint venturing and all sorts of, you know, endorsed direct mail and customer, you know, lead sharing and stuff like that, all at the same time. So, I mean, that's interesting. Kind of, I think, the and it might not apply to everyone, you know, certainly everyone on this call, but, you know, obviously the average martial arts guy is very sales overt, right? He doesn't like to go think that he's, you know, selling stuff, right? And he feels uncomfortable when he walks into a business and he's going to ask the business to do something for him. You know, he kind of feels uncomfortable about that. And again, this is a piece of magic that might help you alleviate that, right? You're going to feel like you're doing a great thing when you walk in, and you in fact are. So, I mean, I think this facilitates a lot of pieces of magic to this. And it's not just, you know, here's a great design for a flyer. I mean, that's the easy part of this thing, right? I mean, really, it's all about walking in and, you know, creating relationships with these folks and making it something that you can build on for forever.
Well, to a great extent on the design, and again, we'll make this available to everybody. Toby, I don't know if you want to just put it up at the member website here next couple of days, or probably the easiest way to get it out quickly. We probably should also do a full-color version that the print-on-demand site can do.
Sure, absolutely.
But I will say about that is one of the useful tools on the deal is paying a little bit more, printing them in black and white on short run, but where you can put the individual, and this isn't particularly useful for, like, elementary schools and so forth, but in order to get Pizza Hut to put them on the box tops, it's useful to put Pizza Hut's logo on them. And if I was going to walk into Pizza Hut, I think I would have already the sample flyer with the Pizza Hut logo and say one of the things we're doing with all the Pizza Huts in the area is facilitating this Haiti fundraiser. We're working with World Vision, and here's what the deal is. And so, you know, again, it just leverages it one more step that it's automatically for them.
Yeah, well, and I mean, obviously, yeah, absolutely. And again, if you were to draw a 3-mile radius around your school and go talk to each and every one of the business owners, you know, they would love to be able to, you know, perceptually be supporting a charity that's in Haiti right now, right? So it's a win-win all the way around. I mean, again, putting their logo on the thing is useful, you know, and them having sort of like emotional buy-in on the thing is really useful.
Yeah, I would, you know, 2 things we should make sure we do overall is, you know, put up the link to the World Vision site in the section that describes what they're doing with Haiti, because you want to go in knowledgeable about what the charity is doing and how it's going about it. You know, then the other thing, again, is just making sure that you get, this is not about put a couple kids out, you put the flyers door to door. This is about you go get 50,000 of them out in, you know, in a week, 2-week period of time. And again, I know that as we were doing it regularly with a different charity, is one of the things that Tim was finding is he was trying to stagger them out over the year because he was getting too much volume on the deal. So it's a, you know, it's a happy problem to have. But don't get cheap about it. We had one of the school owners that we gave this idea to last week, and they said, well, can we make it not include the uniform, or can we make it not be for 5 weeks, or can we make it be that half of the money goes to the charity so we can pay for the uniform. I mean, you don't want to start getting cheap about that kind of stuff. It's like, well, I don't, and I heard somebody else say recently, well, I don't ever want to give them the free uniform until they sign up, because then I just gave them a pair of pajamas that are worth $30. That's just stupid. I mean, it's just, you want to not be cheap on things that help facilitate anchoring in the sale. And those are all things that help make the child or the adult, you know, feel like they're a student before they've actually signed the paperwork. I mean, truly it should be when they walk into the office, they've already decided they're doing this. Now they're just learning how much it's going to cost.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. The only piece of magic in any of that, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but the only piece of magic that I've seen in any of this stuff is that this is like a faucet, right? When you're talking about driving traffic by an offer, it's like a faucet, and you either decide to sort of crank down the spigot and decrease the volume, or you crank open the spigot and increase the volume, meaning the more attractive the offer is, the more volume there'll be, the less attractive the offer, the less volume will be. The one piece of magic in that is it is true that you don't want to be perceived as, quote, quote, cheap, therefore attract, quote, quote, cheap seekers, right? However, on this deal, this completely circumvents that whole psychology, because they're not associating your program with $49 or $39 or $29 or any of that stuff. They're associating a donation to your program, so it circumvents all that psychology.
I wouldn't say that's completely true. Anytime you do any offer that is dramatically less than what your regular tuition is going to be, you're going to have some portion of the people who come in thinking that, again, I had one of our program directors inappropriately, running a $49 offer where all of a sudden he was attracting a whole bunch of people who thought lessons were $49 a month. You know, and then we're flipping them from $49 to $249, and there's a gap there, obviously, of perception. What part of the way you circumvent that? Part of the way you recognize you're just going to get a broader cross section of people at $49 than if you were, if the offer was, say, it's $199. $199, pretty much everybody who comes in the door is qualified. However, you're going to get a lot fewer of them. Same thing is true if you did the offer at $29 rather than $49. You're going to get a lot more people at $29, but even a higher percentage of those are not going to be qualified. And so one of it is you just have to deal with that. It's always been kind of my bitch about lead boxes, which, you know, we're doing quite a bit of, but, you know, you do get a lot of very unqualified people who are just looking for a free ride. And so you have to sort through the good ones from the bad ones. With some of these mechanisms, sometimes you just get, you know, almost too much traffic of the wrong people. The other thing I'll say about it, though, is you've got to make sure the introductory process, that the conversation you're having with them is appropriate. And, you know, it's before they take a lesson, when they walk in the door, they write the check for $49. And they write it out to World Vision. So, you know, the conversation is, Ms. Jones, you're doing the donation for World Vision. That's fantastic. Make sure you make it payable to World Vision. And now what we're going to do next time is talk about the regular programs. Obviously, most people who come here aren't just looking to do 5 weeks. If you want to go ahead and enroll next time, we do give you a $200 discount on the enrollment for having made the $49 donation to World Vision. We appreciate that. But I would like you, between now and next time, to think about level of interest, desire to continue, whether this is something that Joey wants to do on an ongoing basis. I imagine it is. What we'll take a look at is the regular tuition, the regular programs, and finalize the enrollment next time. So, see, what you're trying to do is you're setting that $49 off as something that's unrelated to tuition, and that you're going to go ahead and sit down and finalize tuition, plus you're going to give them a substantial discount for making a decision next time. In other words, whether it's the VIP concept of giving somebody a 4 or 5 week free card, or whether it's something like this, doesn't matter what the offer is, you do intro one, intro two, enroll. Or I've seen people do successfully when they walk in the door, you enroll them. I always prefer the two intro process just because I think probably because we're doing a little bit longer contract, a little bit higher price point. But other than that, they're less likely to enroll in the third lesson, less likely to enroll in the fifth lesson, less likely to enroll. So you don't put them on a five-week program and wait for 2.5 weeks. And you don't put them on a five-week thing and wait for 5 weeks. You put them on the five-week thing and tell them before they take the first lesson that you're going to enroll them after the second lesson.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is a big distinction. And I think it's also part of how this kind of gets screwed up, right? You really don't want to have, 30 people in the school, all of them you're going to talk to on their 29th day, right? Or fourth week and sixth day. I mean, you're right. It's a half-life. The number of days they go beyond the point of – see, now – and here, by the way, is a big picture piece of that thinking. And we've talked about this a lot in, like, our A to Z days and things like that when we're sort of discussing – proper program layout for maximum results. And what you don't want to do is allow for even an instant a parent to think about your program like football, baseball, soccer, or whatever, like seasonally, right? You don't want them to think about making a decision every month, right? So if you allow them to go 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it is, and then decide to enroll them, see, you've got a real uphill battle at that fifth week or fourth week because they sort of already have pre-programmed into their psyche now, by you, frankly, that they make a month-to-month decision, right?
Yeah.
That they decide every 4 or 5 weeks that they're going to enroll or not. And again, think about what I just said. They're going to decide every 4 or 5 weeks whether they're going to enroll or not, right? Now, it's exactly the same thing if you're doing month-to-month memberships or if you're doing 3 month, 3 month, 3 month, 3 month, or if you're doing, 6 months, yeah. 6 months, 6 months, 6 months.
And it's if you do a year enrollment and wait till month 9, 10, 11, or 12. The way I've always thought about it is, like on a 12-month contract, well, if you let them start thinking about what they're going to do when they're done with karate, you're sunk, right? Because you start getting into month 9 and 10 without having a long-term goal to black belt and without having set their renewal. Is what happens is the family starts thinking about, well, he's wanted to do ski lessons, or if he's wanted to do hockey, or he's wanted to do, X, Y, Z, and they start thinking of, well, we had a, nice year of karate lessons, martial arts lessons, whatever, and now we're going to do something beyond this. And the same dynamic sets in on something like 5 weeks, but it's even more dramatic. So you've got to never let them start having that conversation in their mind.
Yeah, well, that's right, and let me make it even more dramatic, and perhaps for many that are on the call right now, they're already beyond this, but it's really important that your staff members get this, that everybody gets this. The most dramatic, I think, if you think about the far left swing of the pendulum on that specific argument, what if you just enrolled somebody for 6 months, whatever you think about it, right, and didn't pre-frame them at that point in time that enrolling for 6 months or a year is just a prelude to something better and bigger, right? See, now they get in their car after they just signed the contract with you. They get into their car, and they drive down the road. And on the way down the road, they see a little lawn sign that says gymnastics this direction, right? Now, in their mind, they're thinking to themselves, well, I'm doing karate for 6 months, but, maybe afterwards we'll do gymnastics. Let's go find out what gymnastics is all about, and maybe we'll start in 6 months, right? So you sort of allowed that conversation to happen in their head, In fact, in many cases, you kind of encouraged it the shorter that term is. If you're enrolling them for a month or if you're enrolling them for, 2 months or something like that, then you're really letting them go out there and make weird decisions and not think about you in the terms that they should be thinking about you. So I think that's exactly right. It's extremely important. And this does, the structure of the offer does help circumvent that if you handle it appropriately when they come in the front door. And, again, no matter what offer they come in on, you still have the opportunity to give them, they paid $49 today, Mrs. Jones, we really appreciate you making the donation and everything. And in fact, if you're, for making a decision today to enroll, and this is the second lesson or whatever, for making the decision today to enroll, we'll quadruple that for you. We'll take that $49 and we'll multiply it by 4 and give you that as a discount off the program. Would you like to do that? I mean, it's a really easy transition. It's not difficult at all, but I think many people sort of read more into it.
Yeah. You've just got to make sure that you set them up to think right before the first lesson, rather than going through two lessons and trying to talk them out of something at the when you're actually going through price and contracts and all that stuff. Hey Toby, I've got to run real quick. Anybody have any questions that is useful for me or anything that I can add to the basic concept? It seems to me there's really only two issues that are important to get. One is that you never wait for anything but normal intro one, intro two to do the enrollment. The other is that through any of these processes, with something like this, the important thing is just get lots of volume. So, you go print 50,000 of these things, and you get all the staff together, and you say, our mission here in 3 days is to have, this box empty with all of them being distributed to, in more or less the right places. And just get lots and lots and lots of volume of this stuff out.
This really isn't, I just had a conversation yesterday, and we haven't discussed this, Mr. Oliver, but this was an interesting discussion. I remember reading, actually I watched a story about an Olympic sprinter, a runner. Actually, he was a long-distance runner, but he was a track star. And I wish I could remember his name, but I just can't remember it. But the story was basically he was telling about his coach who had just died recently. And this coach was like, of course, a huge mentor in his life and, taught him not only about running but about life and all that stuff, kind of how our students, talk about us. And it was a great story, and I wish I could have recorded it because I didn't know where he was going with it. But if I knew at a time, I would have recorded it and tried to send it to everybody. But here was the story, just quickly. It was, and I just had this conversation with this new owner yesterday. The story was this, Olympic medalist runner who was, one of the best runners in history was having a hard time breaking a certain time, timing on a run, right? Like he just couldn't break that extra second or whatever it was, tenth of a second or two-tenths or whatever it was. And his coach had always ridden him really hard and really held his feet to the fire and tweaked his mechanics and, did everything. He was like the perfect runner, right? And he just couldn't break this milestone, and it was, killing him. It was really, it was his goal. It was what he had to do. And us as when we get that in our head, that's all there is, right? There will be nothing else until we accomplish that goal. So he was telling about a conversation that he had with his coach, and the story then morphed into the whole story about his coach. And he was saying, he went to his coach and he said, look, coach, I here's what I've done. I've tweaked this, and I've changed the angle of my elbow just slightly to try to increase my forward, inertia when I do my arm swings, and I'm doing this type of a kick, and I'm trying to turn my foot this specific direction. And he was talking about all this technical, this very, very, very technical, how you shave a tenth of a second off your run, right? He was talking about all of these things. And this was in the late 70s, early 80s, so the technology wasn't there that it is today, the videotape and things like that, and do, all that computer stuff, but they had photographs, and he said, look, I analyzed all these pictures, and here's what I came up with, and this is what I think I need to do, and he had this whole big elaborate plan, and he laid it all out for the coach, being very proud that he had done all the work, right? And he was very proud that he had analyzed all of the statistics and all the photographs and all the mechanics and all of the stuff to be able to shave this extra tenth of a second off of his run, or whatever it was, two-tenths. And the coach said, well, by the way, the story was, the question that the interviewer asked the runner was, what was the most influential, important advice you ever got from this coach who just passed away? And so he told this whole story about the coach and what happened. And so the most influential words that the coach ever said to him is what the coach said next. And the coach said, well, it was great that you did all this technical research and all that stuff, but, I got to tell you, if you want to make that extra tenth of a second, just move your feet faster. Right? So, I mean, he just really, boiled it down to as simple as it possibly could be. Right? Just concentrate on moving your feet faster. You're sort of like paralysis of analysis. When golfers get stuck in their golf swing, they're thinking about too much of the mechanics. They're overcomplicating it too much. Just move your feet faster, right?
Yeah.
you know, this isn't about getting the headline perfect. It's not about getting the offer perfect. It's not about getting – now, all that stuff is useful, but what this is really about is go print 50,000 of these things, you know.
Get them out. Get them out.
And go get them in front of people. Yeah, exactly.
And enroll them when they show up. Yeah. Hey, I got to run, but I would sort of suggest you open it up for Q&A because there will be a lot of distinctions that maybe we glossed over.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely will. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Really
thank
appreciate
you.
It. Great, thanks. Okay, so if you do have specific questions about this, we're now about 3.5 weeks into this promotion, and it's working really well in a bunch of different venues. So anything I can help you with, I'm glad to do that. I'm finishing a genericized version of this flyer right now, and I'll upload it onto the member section. I'll commit to having it done by tonight. Okay, so you may not want to check the member section in the next 3 hours, but by midnight or 1 o'clock tonight, I'll have it done and I'll put it up there for you. But again, it's not about getting the headline perfect. It's not about any of that. It's about getting 50,000 of these things out there, right? If you have any questions, hit 6 on your phone and you'll be unmuted, and I'll be happy to field that as best I can. And let me give you the list of the top locations, if you like, while you're getting unmuted, if you do have a question. So if you do have a question, hit 6 on your phone, and we'll do that. Here's the list of the top locations right now that we're distributing the most number of flyers. Obviously, we have a big deal done with Burger King, so we're doing a ton of flyers through Burger King right now. H&R Block, again, is a big deal. We're trying to do all of the local businesses who have similar customers, and we're focusing mostly on, of course, the high-volume, higher-end businesses right now. So, you know, although hair salons, nail salons, all of those are very useful, we are definitely doing it there. They tend to have a little bit of a lower volume, although they're the perfect customer, right? So we're still doing a lot of stuff in hair salons, nail salons. Tanning salons down here in Florida are big right now, too, because it's, you know, it will be summer soon, and, you know, it's not summer now, so they can't go, you know, out and get the sun. Coffee shops, we're doing a bunch of... Honestly, we're having trouble penetrating Starbucks, but if anybody figures out how to do it, I'd love to do that. I'd love that information. And but we'll keep banging away at them. But we're doing all the little local coffee shops, Boston Gourmet, a bunch of coffee shops like that. They do tend to have a pretty robust volume. Baby stores, you know, like newborn and children's clothing and things like that. We have a Toys R Us that's working with us in Orlando, and we're doing a lot of flyers at Toys R Us. Hair salons, and all the local movie theaters. We have, in different geography, we have different, you know, different franchisees are focusing on different areas first. But here in Orlando, we have 3 local theaters who are handing these flyers out to everyone who buys a ticket, and that's a pretty high-volume deal, too. Flower shops, candy shops. We know that as Mother's Day gets closer, we're doing a bunch of stuff with them. Pet stores, you know, it's weird. Pet stores have a lot of visitors, like at the pet store in the mall and things like that. They have a lot of people that walk in the door and a lot of kids, right? So we're doing a pretty good volume through pet stores. All the video game stores. We have like 3 major chains of video game stores down in Florida. You know, there's GameStop, there's Blockbuster, and there's one other one. I can't remember, but we're doing a pretty decent volume through there too, obviously the Blockbusters. All the party stores, like St. Patrick's Day is getting ready to come up here pretty quick. If I'm going too fast, somebody buzz in and stop me. But I'll review the list for you again if you like. Party stores are very useful because, again, St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and there are people out. And Mardi Gras is here, so there are people patronizing party stores pretty well. Day spas, we're doing a lot of work with day spas on this because, again, the interesting thing about day spas and high-end hair salons is that, and I'm sure you guys know this, but is that they have a pretty robust relationship with their customer list, or at least the individual stylist does. So if you go into sort of I don't want to say high-end, but a mid to high-end hair salon or day spa, you know, you got to wait a month or 2 months or 3 months or 4 months to get back in to see that same stylist, right? So they have a really robust client book, and they have almost no communication with their client, but they do have a pretty good relationship with them. And and one of the things we're doing is endorse direct mail with this offer to their list. So if your stylist sent you a letter and it looks personal, then you might open it, right? But again, that's not the mass volume thing, but it's just another strategy. Panera Bread, we've had a lot of luck with Panera Bread. They do a good volume of folks every day. So local restaurants like that are really useful. We have Moe's, Pancheros, both are little Mexican restaurants, Chipotle, and Panera Bread, all that are doing things with us. All the pizza places. You know, anytime you want to get flyers out, I mean, you know, every time they have a pizza box that goes out the door, they stick one on it for us, which is really useful. Local parks. Again, this isn't a huge volume thing, but in Florida right now, there is a decent volume of people going to the local parks because it's, you know, the weather's nice, it's not too hot, it's not too cold, although it's been chilly the last week. So we've done deals with some of the local park, you know, parks that have gated entrance where you have to stop and they, you know, security people are there and they hand you the thing. H&R Block really has been a big one. So, you know, really, and I'll give you another strategy, by the way, for H&R Block, which is working really well. It was sort of like a 1-2 punch for us with H&R Block in a bunch of locations, especially here in Florida. We have three little H&R Block offices all within about 3 square miles, like a 3-mile radius. There's a lot of them. And basically, we went in like this. This is a little bit of a tangent, but it's useful. I printed off these coloring sheets that just have like a little karate coloring guy on it. And it has like a little character puzzle at the bottom, very much like we did with the placemats in local restaurants. And we went in with these little boxes of 2 crayons. You know, we bought them at the dollar store or whatever for, you know, nothing, or Big Lots or whatever for almost nothing, you know, from Oriental Trading as well. And we went with a big stack of these coloring sheets and said, hey, you know, guys, I know that you guys have a lot of families that come in here, and I'm sure every now and then, you know, the dad or the mom have to bring the kids, and, you know, they're running around your office, you know, probably tearing the place up, or they're just bored. So here, you know, here's a bunch of coloring sheets, here's some crayons. You know, just set those over there. We'd love for them to just fill it out and whatever. And there's a little offer at the bottom, of course. And then we also tied that into the Haiti Flyer. So that was interesting. The other jewelry stores as well. We're having some good luck with jewelry stores. Again, I think because of the you know, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day sort of combo. And then the last piece of it is we're intending to do a bunch of endorsed direct mail with this list I'm going to tell you about next. But right now, they're just handing them out to the patients when they come in. But pediatricians, general practitioners, family practitioners, chiros, we're doing a bunch of stuff with them. And we actually sort of back-ended through a hospital with this thing and down here in Florida. And the hospital was a pretty big winner. I think we had like 3 intros this week so far just from the hospital that, you know, we just gave it to the person who's in charge of the employee board or whatever, and they put them all over the place, right? So mostly it was for the employees. And then when we're dealing with the individual family practitioners and the pediatricians and stuff like that, what our intent is to use the Haiti Flyer as the door opener to do an endorsed direct mail to their patient list. Because, again, if you get a letter from your doctor, from your pediatrician, you know, if it looks personal, you pretty much open it, right? If it looks like a bill or if it looks like whatever, insurance documents or something like that, it goes in the not important, well, maybe the not personal bin. But if it looks like it's personal, it definitely gets open. So that's what we're kind of setting up with this deal, is we want to do a big, after this Haiti Flyer promotion, the next promotion we want to do a big direct mail push with people who have good relationships with their lists, with their customer list. So let me run through that list one more quick time. Oh, the last one on my list, by the way, well, 2 other ones, is there's a Kohl's department store in Florida. I think they're all over the place. They've been very cooperative, and, in fact, Office Depot and Office Max down here. We've been doing a bunch of stuff with them as well, and they've been very cooperative as well. You know, the honest to God truth on this is, you know, what the guy in Orlando has success with is a little bit different than the guy in Miami has success with, which is a little bit different than the guy in Atlanta, which is a little bit different than the guy in Denver, which is a little bit different than the guys in LA, right? But this is sort of like a good cross-section. So let me review that one more time really quick if you're trying to write this down. Nail salons, tanning salons, coffee shops, baby stores, Toys R Us, we had a big one with them, hair salons, movie theaters, flower shops, candy shops, pet stores, video game stores, Blockbusters, party stores, day spas. We've had good luck with Panera Bread. H&R Block has been a big hit. local parks, which I don't have tracking on, but again, the whole idea was shotgun blast this thing. Jewelry stores, pediatricians, family practitioners, chiropractors, hospital, Kohl's department store, and office depots. So really, it's just draw the 3-mile radius around your school and go to all the businesses, right? Any other thoughts on that? Any questions, comments, challenges? I'll have this, you know, non-Mile High Karate version of this flyer done for you, you know, today. So I'll put it up on the member site and I'll email it out to you. Any other thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, tweaks, cool stuff that you'd like to chat about? anything happening? Well, good. Okay. Oh, pizza shops. I'm not sure if I said that, but my number one, by the way, the number one on my list up here, I wrote it a little bit in a different place, but it's pizza shops. So that's a big deal for us. Okay, good. Well, if that sounds good, then we'll call it a day. This is a big deal. Go to the print shop right now. You know, tomorrow morning, I'll have the flyer up for you. You know what? I can have it done. I can have it done in 10 minutes. I just wanted to tweak the offer, but again, it's not about that. I'll have it done in 5 or 10 minutes. I'll upload it onto the member site, and I will email out to everyone to go get it. Okay? Good. Okay. Well, great, guys. Thanks so much for your time. Keep in mind, get registered for the Quantum Leap right away. We're probably going to fill that thing up in the next, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, so we don't want you to get locked out. Oh, and by the way, we're going to be in California. We're going to do three stops in California. We're going to do San Diego, LA, San Francisco, March 4th, 5th, and 6th. So if you live out in that area, you know, we'd love for you to drop by and say hi, and sit in on a little mini boot camp. So great. Speak to you soon, guys. Thanks.